All right, hello and welcome once again to Stasis Pod, the Transformers Rescue Bots Academy podcast. I'm Rob.
I'm Jen.
And I'm David.
And give me an R, because this week we are starting off with the possibly the first and definitely the only cheerleading-themed episode of Transformers. It is Go Team Go.
Yay!
Well, I guess it's the only entire episode themed around cheerleading.
I'm not sure we've ever seen a single cheerleader in another episode.
I'm sure there's been cheering in some episodes. Definitely in G1, there has to be a cheerleading gag.
I feel like, were there cheerleaders in Triple Takeover when they've got the football field?
Oh, that's right.
At the beginning,
probably. Or maybe that's
just like a practice. I don't know if they usually bring the cheerleaders to practice.
Or maybe in the Rescue Bots episode where they had that sports arena, that inflatable sports arena.
Oh, yes.
Was it Burly Ball or something? Yeah. Oh, that's right. I think that did have cheerleaders. Yeah. Who I believe Cade was attempting to score with.
Probably.
Yeah. But this is the first 11 minutes of episode dedicated to cheerleaders.
Yes. Written by Brian Holfeld and... first aired March the 2nd, 2019. Hotshot World, Hoist, Medics, and Wedge. Their teamwork together will give them the edge. Rescue Bots Academy, roll to the rescue. So we open with once again an attempt to rescue Mr. Pettypaws.
Yay! Pettypaws, everyone's bird.
Everyone's favorite cameo.
Yes, and it's not going well.
No, he's not interested.
Even when Medics tries the ideal strategy of just telling him to stop this and come down.
Yes. As anyone who has listened, I mean, no one actually hears the beginning of our podcast sessions, which are about 5 to 10 minutes of me telling assorted cats to get off my desk or stop rubbing up against my mic or stop rubbing up against the video cable to my monitor. But yeah, it doesn't work. It never works.
Yeah, well, I also get that sometimes when Felix wanders through, but yeah.
Mine occasionally involves trying to talk a dog down from having the zoomies.
Aww.
I feel like it might work better with dogs.
Maybe some dogs. Not this dog. The problem is he's the smartest dog I've ever owned, but he uses his intelligence only for evil.
Ah, I understand. I understand this. That would be like my my former foster kitten, Loki.
So he was well named.
He was. I knew. I knew what I was dealing with.
So Hoist attempts to uses winch to rescue him, but instead, Mr. Pettypaws ends up falling to his death.
Oh, well, thankfully they're in the holodeck again.
Simulation ended.
And it's being overseen Professor X style by Blades, a guy we've definitely met before.
Oh, yes, totally.
Yeah.
And are not at all surprised to see.
I was surprised to see him.
Well, I remember he was in...
I was very excited.
We previously saw him in... what is this?
No, we haven't seen him in previous episodes.
Did we? Oh, no, I guess we have not seen him. No.
We've seen everybody else a couple times.
Yeah, this is definitely... Yes. I guess we saw his big rock face in Mount Botan.
Yes, we did see his rock face.
But yeah, he's definitely a guy that we have seen that they're not at all surprised to see. It's just like, hey, Blades, whatever. In fact, they're complaining that he's making a bunch of noise. But really, he's cheering them on.
He is. He is being very enthusiastic. It's charming and adorable. The voice, I feel like, is not quite there.
It is not quite there.
But the writing is there. Yeah. You can actually imagine the lines being read by the correct voice actor. Yes. And it sounds just right.
The voice actor is not bad. He's just trying to be a little too sassy.
Yeah, he's no Parvesh China.
No.
He's, and we will be getting into this even more so in, say, 15 to 20 minutes. He is a bit sassy. He's real gay.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
I'm not saying that aligned universe Transformers actually have sexual orientations, but Blades is real gay.
Yeah, we haven't really had any kind of romance in the amongst the robots in the aligned continuity, have we?
Just whatever they were pretending wasn't going on with Knockout and Breakdown, but they were definitely pretending that wasn't going on.
Autobots doing it. Well, I guess the closest is Wheeljack and Bulkhead.
Even that was...
They were sort of boyfriends in the boys who are friends.
Yeah, there's not been a lot of that.
As opposed to Knockout and Breakdown, who were into it.
Yeah.
In a weird way.
A little surprised we never got like a Bonnie and Clyde in Robots in Disguise.
I just feel like Blades is like cute in a way that straight adult men can't get away with.
Yes. Although I guess we don't know anything about his non-union replacement here. Whereas I believe Parvish Chyna is openly gay.
Yes, he is.
All we have about his replacement is he's a New York-based voice actor. That's all the wiki knows.
Hey, I'm Bladen here. Oh!
It is weird to have that bare bones of a note on the wiki about any voice actor.
I think they may have just grabbed some of these guys out of a bus station.
Yeah.
Anyway,
he's okay.
He's fine. So, Blades is sort of trying to explain what cheerleading is, and Whirl thinks it's a great idea, and she decides that they are going to bring it on.
Hmm.
She is ready. She is ready for, like, the pyramids and the whole thing.
In fact, she's decided she's in it to win it.
Yes.
And that they're going to fight to the finish, and that it's all or nothing.
Oh, yeah, because Blades shows them cheerleading photos, and recommends that, well, it's not Instagram or something, but it's like videos and things. And he tells them specifically, just don't read the comments.
Yes.
Listen, I'm just disappointed that nobody picked up on my... Those phrases I used were all names of sequels to the movie Bring It On.
It has all sequels? Of them were sequels to Bring It On, huh?
I didn't realize it had sequels.
It has six. It has six sequels.
Madness.
The last one was a horror movie.
What?
Bring It On, what? Cheer or Die.
Oh.
Wow. Okay, it kind of makes sense that it would have sequels that are probably direct-to-video, I would assume, or the equivalent.
Yes, they are.
But a horror movie?
Yeah. Like a horror comedy, but yes.
Still, that sounds...
Bring It On. Bring It On Again.
Bring It On Cheer or Die.
All or Nothing. Bring It On In It to Win It. Bring It On Fight to the Finish. Bring It On Worldwide Cheer Smack.
Oh, that one sounds bad.
Bring It On, Cheer or Die.
Sure.
The idea of a movie series going on so long, it completely shit. I mean, you get Fast and the Furious, which slides slightly different genre. But to, like, skip to horror, that's an interesting idea.
And then, of course,
premiered on the Sci-Fi Channel. Oh, no.
And that is not to mention Bring It On, the musical, which had, in fact, music by a pre-Hamilton Lin-Manuel Miranda.
What?
That's so funky.
What?
Anyway.
That's madness. Hey, fun side note. I tried out for cheerleading in freshman year.
Ooh.
Because it was something that I had thought as a kid would be something I wanted to do. And going into freshman year of high school, I was like, this is definitely not a thing that I am going to be into. But for the sake of my 8-year-old self, I will give this a try. And, predictably, it did not work out.
I mean, you're pretty small. You could have been, like, the person they hug up in the air.
I could have. And, you know, at that age, I was, like, 5 foot nothing and 100 pounds. So I
they'd be tossing you around like a hacky sack.
Yeah, I would have been perfect for that. But it was not to be.
Wait, Why does the poster of the horror movie have like a horned demon shadow in the background? Did it involve demons?
They were just maybe like, why is this grunge child trying to try out for this?
Well, she saw the cheerleaders in the Smells Like Teen Spirit video and thought, hey, I could do that.
Yeah.
Anyway. So Whirl is very into this whole cheerleading thing, gets them all together for cheerleading practice. She's even made them big robot pom-poms.
Yes. Which they know what to do with.
Sell oversized pom-poms online, probably.
They also try and make, like, a robot pyramid, which also does not go well.
Well, because there's five of them, and you need multiples of three. Well, three, or six, or ten.
Yeah, they need another person in there. Although, I guess they're kind of different sizes, so maybe somebody stronger than the others?
Yeah.
We could have Whirl on top, because she's the teensiest.
Yes. It is odd they don't put, like, the two biggest guys on the bottom. They have three on the bottom and then the biggest guy in the middle.
You would think that they would have Wedge and Hoist on the bottom and then Medics and Hotshot, but no.
Yeah.
They have the three smallest guys and then
big old Hoist
stands on them.
They just were not watching Bring It On carefully enough.
Nope. Mm. Did not quite get that down.
I'm sure there's also some sort of like weird cheerleading reality TV show that Blades watches.
Oh, I'm sure. Absolutely.
Like they're cheerleaders, but also I don't know, they're hoarders, cheer hoarders.
yeah, that sounds like a parody reality show.
Yes.
No, it makes more sense if you like bring in people from different sports to become cheerleaders and get a wrestler on the team somehow.
Ooh.
Be good at hucking people in the air, but maybe not much else. Anyway. Stupid reality shows. Where were we?
Yes.
The flood. Are we the flood yet?
Yeah. So now they've been called up, and there is indeed a real emergency. Griven Rock is flooding, baby, and I don't want to swim. So now they have to go and evacuate people, not like holographic people or tough luck Chuck, but actual people.
Actual real people.
I think we've had flooding in episodes before. Well, in Rescue Bots.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yes.
Flooding on islands feels different. Like, feels like, oh, there should be a weather front coming in that's going to fuck up the island. That causes flooding. But flooding on its own.
There is a lot of rain.
Yeah.
It is raining.
Maybe it's something to do with, like, the bizarre tunnels underneath the island.
Yeah.
Or also weather machine gone berserk.
Yeah, because
that is also entirely possible.
Like, for flooding, you need, like, lots of river or big flood plains, which are also river-related. And that doesn't seem as much like an island or small island feature to me.
Well, remember that Griven Rock has everything that you needed to have.
Yeah.
It's like Springfield.
Mm. Yeah.
From volcanoes to glaciers.
So there is a small girl who they need to rescue. This is Sarah. And she won't go anywhere without her stuffed bunny buttons.
I will note that when I watched this, it took me a second to catch that she said stuffed bunny. So when Hotshot offers to get her a new one, I was kind of like, that's not how pets work, dude.
Yeah, I missed the stuffed part, too. Until we cut back to... her mother has the stuffed bunny.
It is a stuffed bunny, and Hotshot is not actually just an absolute heartless jerk.
No, especially, like, he also says the line, what if I get you two?
Yeah. Well, that's just going to cause extra problems.
Yeah.
So they get this bunny from her mother, but she still won't, but now she's too frightened to get out of the house. So it is time for them to form a robot pyramid once more. And this time it worked.
It came in handy, yeah, because they suggest other things like Blades can't fly up there because there's a tree, and Hoist's line on its own isn't enough, and yada yada, but pyramid.
Oh, did they mention why Whirl can't fly up there? Because, like, that just seemed like a thing that she should be able to do.
Yeah, because there was a tree, and the tree by the house. Oh, the neighborhood that they're in, like, is a different one than we've seen in the show, or the previous show before. Like, it's more of a built up old townhouses, like 3 to 4 story things.
Like I said, Griffin Rock's got everything. This is just the district you haven't seen yet.
Yeah. Well, no, it's like this just feels more like a New England section of town to me.
Yeah.
I used to describe them as Biltmores, like it's an old house that as the family grew, they would build more chunks of the house behind the house. Mm-hmm. And then they tend to be like white trimmed with bright colors on the siding.
Oh, we had, there were a couple of those right across the street from me where I used to live that were like Victorian.
Yeah.
It's
neat. And it's like, it hasn't been in the show before. We've had like lower buildings or like in town. This is like the side of town.
I assume this is also the like more New England-y portion of the town. So, you know, the guys have those real Stephen King accents, you know.
Yeah.
Love some Stephen King accents.
And widow's walks and things. Well, we did have a widow's walk in a way earlier episode, I think.
Right, the one with a ghost.
Yeah.
Well, we haven't been seeing the robots so much around this part of town, you know.
Yeah. So they build the robot pyramid. We have a bunny delivery. They get the girl out. The pyramid saves the day.
And I forgot, one of the other people they rescue is Griffin Rock resident Mr. Bunty, the guy who still owns a flobster.
He does! His pet flobster is there.
Well, Crustacea. Presumably it's a lobster. We don't see it flying. He's holding it. It has a little ribbon on its head.
Yes.
Crustacea really sounds like it should be fighting Godzilla.
I love her.
So yeah, the robot pyramid is formed. The girl is rescued, and back home, they run through their routine for Whirl, who is very impressed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or Blades, who is very impressed.
Sorry, not Blood. Right.
Oh yeah, I messed that up Whirl, in my notes too for some reason.
Yes, Whirl, I'm sure, is very impressed with herself.
Yes, she is very proud of herself.
But she is correct to be, as she formed this ragtag group of misfits into a cheerleading team.
Yes! Yay!
All right, and that brings us to our second episode of our double bill, episode number 18, "The Secret of Flight," introducing Blades for the very first time on this show.
Yeah, this is.
Yeah, these were obviously...
A guy you've never seen before.
You know, they could have just not had it make a big deal about him showing up for the first time, but nope, that's not how it works.
I mean, it sort of makes sense they're going to do that with one of the characters from the previous shows. Like, oh, one of the original rescue bots hasn't shown up yet. Let's make a slightly bigger deal. That's fine. And continuity issues are a thing that has always been consistent in Transformers and airing order, but the wiki tries to go by what like is the sensible order that even isn't airing order, what was the intended airing order. And yet in this case, this is the closest also of any continuity order disorder I've seen in a long time,
that yeah,
the episode introducing a character to the show happens right after an episode where he was just in.
Yeah, just like, hanging around.
This feels like really badly written early 80s cartoon ordering.
Like GoBots.
Well, it's like, what is it? I'm trying to think. Was it Bot or something? That something aired that with the Combaticons and the...
Oh. No, it wouldn't have been Bot, because Bot was the last episode of season 2.
Okay, something I think aired with the Protectobots before we...
Oh, yeah, maybe Bot is the one that supposedly introduces the Protectobots or something.
The Protectobots never really got a good introductory episode.
No, the Protectobots just kind of showed up, so maybe I'm thinking of somebody else.
They were very, like, early, like, 85 guys, like Inferno and all them, just suddenly they're here.
Well, if we're sticking to combiners, there's the Constructicons who've been introduced multiple times.
Well, there is
with
that.
A different origin every bloody time in every media, including twice. Two? Is it two or three times? No, it's Well, sort of three times in the cartoon, because it's three, like... we get them showing up with constructing Megatron.
Yes.
Right, in, like, the distant past.
And then they show up later.
And then they were built by Megatron, and then also Megatron... They were Autobots who Megatron converted to the Decepticons.
Yes. Yeah.
So not just three, but three, like, absolutely irreconcilable.
Yes.
Well, you could sort of work with the, oh, they made Megatron before they became Decepticons part. But nothing else works.
No.
It was like, why'd you make the most evil robot? I don't know. Construction order. We just fill it.
It occurred to us.
So this first aired March 16th, 2019, written by Ben Ward. Last seen in these parts, rating 5 into 4, the episode when they think one of them is going to be fired.
Oh, no.
And yeah, we are once again in the danger room, where we're set up a sandbag wall, set up a fire break, because a fire is going to happen. And, of course, they're running out of time. They've only got the one flyer. So, since Medic says they need more flyers, Hotshot turns into a jet, and I guess much like a Harrier jet, he can also hover.
Yeah, he does seem to have the same little, like, wing fans that Windblade has. Because at first I was like, jets can't hover. And then I noticed that he has the little, the wing blades like Windblade has.
Yeah, of course, you don't need them, because the Harrier doesn't have those either.
No.
No,
it's a totally made up fan thing. It's like stolen from, what was it, Ramjet.
Thrust.
Of course, that's the one that makes sense.
I know, nobody can remember Thrust. He's the least memorable of those three guys.
Yeah, he is. He really is.
Like, Dirge is the guy who's kind of a goth, and Ramjet is the guy who likes bonking stuff with his head, and Thrust is the guy with the cool wings.
Thrust is the third one.
Yep. The Zeppo of the Coenheads.
Yes.
In the original Seekers, like, that was kind of Thundercracker until IDW. It's like he's the other one.
Well, he had interesting stuff in his bio.
Now he's the writer with a dog.
I mean, he had interesting stuff in his bio that nobody ever used.
Yeah, like he was sort of reluctantly a Decepticon, kind of.
Right.
But that never came up for the longest freaking time.
Yes.
Thrust doesn't even have that. What the fuck is Thrust's bio?
I think it's just, like, standard Decepticon jerk. The most memorable thing he ever did was, like, that scene where his... Well, he gets that, that scene in Transformers the movie where he gets reflected in Prime's grill before he gets run over.
Yeah, that's
yes.
it.
That's the most interesting thing he ever did.
Yeah.
Like, every other Thrust after him is way more... Well, except I think he's in Cyberverse. I don't know how memorable that one is.
I guess we'll find out.
But every other one.
Yes.
Is, like, more notable.
Mm-hmm. Motorcycle guy, Conehead guy in Armada, all more interesting.
There's one of the ones in the anime. One of the anime's Beast Wars 2,
oh,
I think.
Right. They're, like, the two comedy guys.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, at least that's a comedy duo.
Yes. So, they promptly crash into each other, and the simulation is over. And so, you know, Hotshot gets called into the office, and he's going to have, like, a special flying tutor. And that is Blades, a guy we're very excited about meeting for the very first time.
Yay! Yeah. We have definitely not already seen this guy for a whole episode. Also, as I said 15 to 20 minutes ago, when he shows up, Heatwave is, like, calls him a special professor, and Blades shows up like... Aw, you never called me special before. And I'm like, holy shit, he's got knockout levels of gay. It's A+ good stuff. I'm here for it. You can't get away with being like that if you're a straight guy as an adult. It's not allowed. If you're gonna be that adorable, you have to be gay.
And so they think he's fantastic. He's got all sorts of interesting bumblebee stories.
Yes. Someone actually says Bumbleblades, which I'm pretty sure is the official ship name.
Uh, What's that or Blade B, which doesn't work.
Yeah, which isn't as good.
Yeah. Yeah, the famous Bumble Blades Meteor Team-Up move, which is indeed a thing from Bumble Blades to the Rescue. Or sorry, from Bumble Bee to the Rescue.
Oh. I was going to say, don't they actually use that in that
They
too?
Actually did call it Bumble Blades, yes.
Yeah,
I think Blades wanted to make it a thing, and nobody else did.
No. I love him. Blades is my favorite. He's so good. I'm glad he's here. I wish he was his actual voice actor, but that's okay because his actual voice actor got to be in, like, what was it, in The Mandalorian?
Yes.
He was that one guy's droid.
Yes, who was sort of very Blade-sounding in spots.
Yeah, I gotta say, being typecast as a panicky robot is not the worst thing that could happen.
Yeah, and he's still appearing in had a recurring role on that new Frasier.
Oh, nice.
I keep forgetting there's a new Frasier.
He's done a ton of stuff lately. So good for you, Parvish Chyna.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Whirl asks to be included in the special flight training too because she can also fly.
Yeah, she can fly and she wants to hang out with Blades.
Yes, but instead of it actually being something interesting, they just have to hover in place for 2 hours.
Oh, yes, because the three, like, cardinal rules of flying, steady, slow, and safe.
And not stink bomb sausage sandwich.
No.
Oh, combining a stink bomb with sausage sandwich sounds good, but stink bomb part, no.
And then he also sets up an obstacle course, but they have to go through it as slowly as possible. And they've also put in mist because this is he's a big fan of like late 90s PC games.
Aren't we all?
The Fog of War.
I mean, it is important to be able to fly in fog.
Yeah,
but. I'm very proud of him for being confident enough at it to be the professor showing them how to do it.
Yes, and Hotshot is indeed not good at it because he just bonks into literally everything.
Oh, because he wants to go maximum speed. Like, when they're first doing the thing where they just hover in place, like, he's so confused and wobbly. It's like, I don't know how to fly steady. I just go forward. Why would I sit still?
This is definitely like why did Optimus give him this special ability, but yeah. I guess it's a long-standing tradition for Optimus to be unreasonably confident in Hotshot when he does not deserve it at all.
Well, confident Hotshot or Rodimus, which has never made sense until we've seen Transformers 1. It's like, oh, that's why.
Well, it makes less sense in Armada because I feel like Hot Rod was generally like
a danger to everyone around him.
So incompetent like Hotshot was in Armada.
So there, he's sort of working it out, but unfortunately, now there is yet another emergency, and it turns out that Griffinrock now has the opposite problem that they had last time.
Yes. Hellfire! Force of...
So I assume...
There was also, like, when... I forget, is like, right before the emergency or in between some of the training things. Like, Hotshot comes back to see the other bots, and Hoist is learning tuba.
Yes.
Which... Where did they get a robot-sized tuba? Why is he learning tuba? We don't care. It's a neat throwaway gag.
Yes.
It's fun.
He seems like the kind of guy who would learn to play the tuba.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which just, it just makes me want a future episode where they're just like a band. I was like, well, especially since like they just had cheerleading or they're going to have cheerleading and he'll be the tuba for the cheerleaders. Marching band.
He'll be the marching band.
Gonna have to wear a hang-on Sloopy.
Oh, no.
Anyway, so I assume the next three episodes, Griffin Rock is going to have trouble with Earth, Wind, and then Heart.
He's going to play tuba for the Rescue Bots Academy.
Yes. Good news, though, they changed their mascot to be less racist. I know it was unintentional because he was like a nut, but still, he was a little minstrelly.
Yeah, that is not inaccurate.
Oh, wait, have they had... What was the mascot in the inflatable stadium episode?
Oh, I'm trying
to think.
Like
a beaver or something?
It was a beaver or something. Mm. There was definitely a costume. Well, it was Cody, right?
I guess. Or was it a jackalope? I think we've encountered a jackalope little gag before. Yeah.
I am trying to think. This is going to drive me nuts, but I can't remember it.
Oh, no, the jackalope might have been in that one weird episode we had in the Midwest for no reason.
Oh, right.
Was it Kristen Schaal?
Kristen Schaal, so. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, it was a moose. It was a moose mascot, which does make sense for Maine.
Yes.
Anyway, so they head out to fight this fire. You know, Blades and Whirl are there, and Hotshot is thinking that, well, you know, I'm going to just suck it up here because I don't know what I'm doing. But, no, Heatwave just says, just be yourself out there, kid. And so, for medics to get in there, he magnetizes his feet to the underside of the jet mode, so he's just hanging on for dear life.
Which...
And some...
It doesn't seem very aerodynamic, is all I'm thinking.
No, it seems like somebody who's bad at flying would be even worse at flying with a guy who weighs about the...
Same as him.
As much as you do.
Yeah.
Stuck to the underside of you.
Yeah.
And yet, they do indeed successfully rescue these two firefighters.
Yes. Surprisingly, so the quickly and easily, like even going through the smoke from the fire.
Listen, we got 11 minutes here. You gotta wrap it up.
Gotta get this episode taken care of. Gotta get this episode done.
That's right.
And it is shockingly like the most like, Hotshot has learned a lesson episode.
Yes.
He does need to learn some lessons. I mean, he's the worst.
I mean, the previous lessons he's learned are, I shouldn't carve my face into a mountain that might fall off.
Very important to remember.
But that's like what he learns at the end of the episode, not something he learns that he uses at the end of the episode.
All right. So that does it for this week. You know, two totally fun episodes. It was nice seeing Blades back.
Yes. Yes. Very good Blades episodes. The episode ordering is still weird.
Yeah, like I said, the writing has his voice down, but
yes.
The great value voice actor is not quite there yet.
No.
I mean, for our great value voice actors, he might be the best? Maybe?
Yeah.
I mean Heatwave's,
Heatwave's
kind of okay, because mostly because he's there all the time. We've just gotten used to him.
I think Chase is pretty good, but you kind of just have to do a very serious voice, citizens.
Yes.
Yeah, you're so doing a like... Dragnet.
And yeah, that's... all right. So that does it for us for this week. We'll be back next week with more Rescue Bots Academy action. Until then, you can find us all over the internet. We're on Twitter. We're on Facebook. We're on Blue Sky. We're on Mastodon. And we have a Patreon.
Yes, we are hosted on iconunderground.net. Where also David and I have been getting back to a little more regularly recording our news episodes.
Oh, yeah, we got to do one at the end of this month.
And we have a Patreon set to help with hosting and other expenses, where every month we record just something fun. Often it has something to do with what's going on in other media. Sometimes it's just a fun thing from our long-standing to-do list.
And our last one of each was both Gundam related.
Yes. And that
news
was...
and Patreon.
That is at patreon.com/IaconUnderground. Actually, after we wrap up this episode, we are going to record our March episode. celebrating the return of Daredevil to the MCU by going back to that time he and Kingpin had it out on the 90s Spider-Man cartoon. So
that's right.
And Kingpin was the great Roscoe Lee Brown, also seen in my favorite Visionaries. So yeah, that should be fun. It's always fun when we get to talk about 90s Spider-Man. So that is going to be up sometime this month, but that is patreon.com/IaconUnderground.
All right. So until next time, when we wage the battle of the bots, I'm Rob.
I'm Jen.
And I'm David.